Hello, welcome to episode 35 of Ring Takes. Of course, I'm joined by Brian and Lewis. As always, thank you guys for joining me. In this one, we're going to be talking about Jade Cargill signing with WWE, the WWE releases, and then talking about pay-per-view PLE event full weekend with AEW Wrestle Dream and NXT No Mercy. We can get right into it as soon as I make the banner, because I forgot. Boom, there we go. We can get right into it. Jade Cargill signing with WWE bright and early on Tuesday morning. I believe it was 8 o'clock. Right on, it was broken by ESPN that Jade Cargill signed with WWE, multi-year deal with WWE, especially with her departure from AEW, which we talked about last week. Of course, her departing there, losing to Chris Statlander in her last match. And then it just seemed like she was going away. And then the writing was on the wall that she was going to end up in WWE. We didn't know when. We didn't know how. And then especially after Monday Night Raw, we were thinking, oh, she's not showing up. What's happening? Or at least me personally, I thought it was going to be a little bit more down the line. But nope. On Tuesday morning, they announced that she's signed. They showed her walking into the Performance Center. And then, of course, she had an interview with the Masked Man via The Ringer. David Shoemaker and Kaz, whole bunch of press run that's already happening. Her walking into the Performance Center, interviews galore. What do you guys think about Jade Cargill finally signing in WWE?
Well, I feel like, you know, when they announced the news yesterday, I feel like for the rest of the morning, as far as us three go, I feel like that's all we were talking about. Or like, because it is a monumental signing. And me personally, I've never seen WWE, like, as far as the coverage goes for signing her, you know, filming her, like you Daniel stated, walking into the Performance Center and such. I mean, they're actually treating this as a big deal. I mean, you heard Triple H, he tweeted out after that Jade is an athlete that's essentially a game changer. I mean, they really made it seem like this is a monumental signing. And Daniel mentioned the media that she's been doing, the first podcast that came out of them interviewing her. You know, she really made it seem as though that, like, you know, this was coming to WWE. It was ultimately a part of a plan, because, you know, she has such appeal outside of wrestling. You know, being a fitness model, being the athlete that she is. I mean, the opportunities with being associated with WWE are going to be next level for her. So, so it's definitely a lot of positivity that comes with that. She even mentioned all of the possible people that she could match up with. I mean, when you mentioned mm-hmm. Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, which is a huge one that she went into, almost going as far as saying that that's a future WrestleMania main event, which, if booked correctly, it definitely is. So, you know, definitely a great get for WWE. Whether she's on NXT or if she's on the main roster, you could set it up either way where she'll have success, whether it's in NXT, you know, being in the breakout tournament and then challenging for the title, or challenging for the title just outright, or you can bring it to the main roster. I know some people were floating around the idea of her being the lady of this new Hurt Business. I know that was thrown around, but there are so many ideas, there's so many options that they could go with, because, you know, she's so multi-dimensional. The only thing that I ask is that she please be a heel. Please, you know, you have to start out as a heel. There've been too many times where they brought in people. Whether it be, I'm going to use Bobby Roode as an example. When he came to the main roster, they had him as a babyface. You know, when he had that whole heel run in NXT, and even before that, when he was in Impact as a great heel. You know, there have been times where they brought people in and they don't necessarily, they try to rebuild their character in their eyes instead of sticking with what was successful. So. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I asked for, but all in all, you know, bringing in Jade is a huge get. And Daniel, I remember that you had stated in the chat that if you were WWE, that you would have released the news of her signing tonight, right before Dynamite, correct? To kind of have AEW scrambling. But she's such a big signing for them that They could have announced it last week. They could have announced it last week, and AEW still would have been scrambling because she was their one homegrown talent of their women's division that was considered a top five talent. So definitely, like I said, definitely a great get for her, and looking forward to seeing how she's ultimately utilized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny when there were so many rumors and everything, and it was like. Honestly, the media that was put out on it wasn't even like rumors. It was like it was a done deal before this announcement was even made. You would have thought like everybody knew that she had signed the contract already. And one thing that I was wondering was that, you know, why WWE decided to announce it when the whole Cody thing was going to happen. You know, I mean, obviously there's a whole lot of history with Cody, but I feel like usually majority of the time when it comes to these big sightings, it's usually kind of kept secret or whatever, or there'll be leaks or whatever, but it's never usually like, oh, ESPN just broke the news. They just signed this person. You're like, this is not usually a normal thing. So I honestly think from WWE standpoint, it's like a power move. Like we're still the bigger company. We're still the grandest stage that is out here. And the fact that, like Brian said, she always knew that WWE was going to be, the place that she wanted to end up in. And, she is one of the homegrown AEW women, female wrestlers. And for her to, I mean, hey, she had an amazing run and she started her career there, but, obviously she saw that WWE can give her more opportunities, expand her brand, all that stuff. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to see how they're going to handle her. I'm definitely wondering if they're going to do NXT or the main roster. I feel she might be ready for the main roster, but I don't know. You guys know me with the state of NXT right now. I don't know. I feel like, she'll run through NXT real fast, and I don't know if it's even worth having her go through the NXT run for what, like a year to then just be on the main roster. Like next year, I think kind of strike when the lightning's hot and just get her on TV and just get her going. I think that would probably be the best for her. And it's not like she hasn't been on TV before, so this isn't new to her. She's been in front of a live crowd, she's done all this before, so this isn't new. There's probably a change in style, but like they said, she's an athlete, she'll probably adapt very quickly to it. And the fact that there's so many potential feuds, and we don't even know if she's gonna be on Raw or SmackDown. There obviously we know SmackDown's the A show now, so there's a lot of stuff that they can do there. But now, Ross heating up with the women's division. So either way, wherever she goes, she's going to do great. So definitely excited to see what comes next.
For sure. Just with the introduction of her, the press run that they introduced with her. And to think that essentially this was a big time player, homegrown player for AEW, that this essentially in the real reality of looking at it was a mid-carder for AEW in their women's division. The TBS title is the mid-card division for AEW's women's division. They try to use young talent there, grow them. Of course, she built that streak. I believe it was 56, or was it 60-0?
Yeah, she got the 60.
60-0, right? So she built that streak up and then was still held into the mid-card. And when she did her interviews with The Masked Man and other podcasts, it was just like she was basically alluding to being kind of limited in what she was doing, right? Like there was supposed to be something more and at least a next step level into her career in AEW that obviously wasn't fulfilled. So to think that WWE has taken essentially a mid-carder in the women's division of AEW and now has presented her like a star, especially releasing with the ESPN press run, the pictures at the Performance Center, walking into the Performance Center, this is obviously a big deal. Like this is not something that they're taking lightly. We even heard last week that they were working on creative for her. So something's in the works already. We know she's going to be doing something real soon. Now, whether she goes to NXT or SmackDown or Raw, I was saying in the chat that she should go to NXT and work down there and just run through. And you said a year, Lewis. I don't even know if it has to be a year. You know what I mean? It could be a short run or whatever the case may be. Usually they have time there, especially with the women's division. The way it is, as Brian was saying, do the breakout tournament. But I'm just like, she doesn't even have to be down there a year. She could just have a run there, a little run, and then potentially bring her up. there's so many options.
Yeah. I've just never seen really. I mean, I don't know if you guys probably have more better memory than me. Like, what is the shortest run you probably ever seen in NXT where somebody kind of just catapulted to the main roster?
The one person I could probably think of off the top of my head was probably Drew McIntyre when he initially came back to.
That's true.
I know he was only there for a couple of months. He was only there for like a month or two, and then he already had a title match, and then he won the title. Then he got injured, and he was out.
Yeah.
And then he came back, and he was on Raw with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Go ahead.
Yeah. How long was Big E down there?
That was in the beginning. I didn't really see it down there.
That was like the very beginning.
That was like the NXT title. Like the NXT title when they were.
That's what NXT.
And I'm just trying to think. Like how long was he down there? I don't remember him being down there too long. But there's just so many avenues that you can take with her, and especially we all thought about her being the muscle of the Hurt Business. Her and Bianca Belair being a tag team. I've even thrown some stuff out there that I'm probably going to say later. Later down the road when we figure out what she's actually doing. But the sky's the limit with her, especially with her size and athleticism. And she's mentioned all those people that we talked about, like Nia Jax, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, people like that, Rhea Ripley. So it's like the top main eventers that she's already talking about. And then in my mind, I instantly thought of her trying to like gorilla press slam Nia Jax. That was like the first thing that came into my mind. I'm like, is WWE gonna try? I don't know if she can do that, but if she's able to do that,
I don't think she'll be able to do that. That's
instantly the first thing that popped in my head. Like
they're trying to gorilla press Andre the Giant, like
yeah, like trying to do that, like a slam or something. Like I don't know, but it's just like I just instantly was like, oh shit. But thinking about what she can bring to the table in terms of the NXT and SmackDown roster, whatever the women's division she goes into, she's going to have a presence there, obviously. She's going to have an impact there. And WWE is definitely making sure that she's given the time, given the attention coming in, at least. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, man.
All right. So
stay away from those tag titles.
But Lewis, you gotta at least give them credit for. Since you talk about the tag titles, you gotta at least give them credit for at least highlighting Isla Dawn and Alba Fire and saying that like there's a curse on these titles now. That curse is because of us. At least trying to at least put some light on them again. And they're probably gonna end up with the titles again. Honestly, they should. They're the only true tag team.
That's why I say she needs to stay away, because put her in the tag team. Let's say. Fantasy booking, whatever. She gets in the tag team with Bianca. Boom, they win it. One of them's gonna get hurt, and then then it's just another. Oh, what do we do?
Be on the show for a year.
Yeah. And talking about Jade, to go back to Jade for a second. When we talk about her being a homegrown AEW talent that they didn't kind of elevate when they should have. I mean, this was a woman whose debut match was a tag team match in which Shaquille O'Neal was her tag team partner against Cody Rhodes, and I think it was Red Velvet. Shaquille O'Neal was her tag team partner. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that for a debut match. So you would think with that strong start that they would just continue to elevate, but almost like the TBS title became a crutch for a little bit on her, because even though she was winning matches and slowly getting better and being entertaining every week, it was almost like this was her limit. And we all know that she's better than that. She could have easily been in a feud. I would love to see a feud with her and Britt Baker. I would have loved to see her and Saraya.
I waited for that for so long.
I think we were all thinking when she lost to Chris Statlander that was going to be the next thing, right? Like she was going to get into the actual women's division, maybe battle on Nia Rose, Toni Storm, fight everybody who's there. It was like you already fought all these kind of mid-card, lower-level women to build your reign. Now we're going to see you in the ring with some actual proven. We thought that's what the streak was building towards. Like that was what it was for. We're going to build you here. And then once we get it here, we're going to take you up to the next level. And it just never seemed to happen. As Brian said, you figured that would have been the natural progression, but it's just like time ran out with AEW. you think if they had another year or so, maybe they would have did that, but it's like time ran out. WWE came in with their offer, probably already had floaters out there. In the interview, she said that Cody Rhodes was very monumental into bringing her in and talking her in and stuff like that. So it's like
that says a lot. He's already,
He's approaching people from AEW.
So all of his guys, all those Nightmare Factory guys that are in AEW right now, or guys like Ricky Starks that accompanied him at the Royal Rumble when he came back, when all those guys are up and they're thinking, well, we've never been to WWE, so what's it like over there? Yeah, that's why I said right after this happened, I was thinking Ricky Starks is going to be next. When he's up, in the interview,
she did mention Ricky Starks was like her best friend there. So it's like,
It's crazy to think because she mentioned in the past how, you know, how great of a boss like Tony Khan was and how he treats them, you know, equally and gives them respect and this and that. So, and that wasn't too long ago. I want to say maybe that was like,
I think at some point last year, a couple months ago.
Yeah, something like that. You know, so thinking like, okay, hey, she finally lost the TBS title. Let's see what's going to happen next. And then boom, oh shit, she might actually be leaving. And it's just like, how are you just going to let her go? But, and I think that's what maybe more people are more curious is like, what did AEW even try and offer her anything? Did they offer just the same stuff? And she was like, I'm not going to stay. Did they offer her a better creative or whatever? You know, I think that's, or was she always just like, yeah, no, WWE's where I want to go. You know, it's like, it's funny, like, to actually know what the process was. But, you know, it's also crazy is that, at least from the wrestler's viewpoint, they're not like, oh, I can't believe you're leaving. It's like, no, good luck in your success, you know?
Exactly.
It's more the internet wrestling community that's all like, how could she leave? Or,
that's just that tribalism bullshit amongst us three that we don't agree with. I mean, we all watch both shows. Maybe AEW a little bit more than Daniel does, but when people move, we're not sitting there like getting all in our feelings and such. I mean, because Kenny Omega even sent out a tweet about it saying, you know, guys, as fellow wrestlers, when other wrestlers go to other promotions, we're actually very happy for that. And maybe you guys should do the same.
from a wrestler's, I'm not a wrestler, but from a wrestler's standpoint, okay, this person goes to a different company, they get paid, they get more money. Now the asking price for us, our wrestlers, our women over here,
exactly,
next time comes up, people are going to be paid accordingly. So it's like one hand rubs the other, one hand washes the other.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially,
in a sense, right? So I'm pretty sure those guys are wanting to see her do well. And I'm pretty sure people can lie or whatever the case may be. All wrestlers watch the other product. They all talk about it.
Especially if they're like their best friends and stuff like that.
All their boys and everybody's over there. I know for a fact Chris Jericho didn't stop watching. He got so many. I know for a fact he still watches, even though he'll say in interviews he doesn't. Like, he keeps up with everybody.
People keep up what's going on with the other show, and that's normal. And I feel like that's fair. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do with her going forward. I can't wait to see. Hopefully she debuts this weekend. But we'll see what happens with that going forward with
Jade. Save her for the Rumble.
I want to say that too. I was thinking that too. Like, maybe she just draws this out. But it's like the way they announced it, I'm like, they kind of can't draw it out. I feel like they're going to have to get her in there.
I think they can.
Like, maybe. All shows in the crowd or something, and then just kind of just like tease it. Can you tease it that long?
I say do video packages and then
hype packages.
I just think you know Rumble is like a place where people get pops, like the AJ pop, the Edge pop. Like, I feel that's a great way to introduce new people that you know are big time. You know, the Cody pop, like you know.
No, I love the Royal Rumble surprises are the best because you actually don't know when it's
going to happen. Wow, you enjoy surprises, Dan. I can't believe it.
Hey, I said surprise comeback.
1936.
Surprise debut. Those are surprises. Oh. Okay, I just want to say that. All right.
Excuse me, surprise comebacks. I let me finish.
He said he likes surprise comebacks, not surprise finishes. That's what he said.
I'm just saying. Austin's won it three times.
And no not one back to back.
Issue. Nobody had an issue. Yeah, he did. He won it. He won 97, 98. Yeah. And then he was going to win 99. He was going to win 99. And then Vince won.
He really wanted to get technical. He didn't win it in 97. He got eliminated by Bret Hart and then pulled that shit. So technically, he was eliminated.
Speaking of Brian, he
got taken out and the ref didn't see it.
I'm saying they counted 97. It's in the record
book. Speak the truth.
Yes, in the books he won it. Yes.
Yes. I'm just saying what's in the records, what's written down matters. History is written by the victors. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I get that from Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 2. I think it was Roosevelt who said that. One of those guys. One of those presidents. But we can keep moving on here. With the arrival of Jay Cargill, we also had the departures of a bunch of WWE releases that kind of shocked, but I want to say it's more so trimming the fat of WWE. Yeah. Really, essentially. and I joked in the group chat that, hey, maybe this was just their way of like just getting the money to pay Jay Cargill, just trim the fat of all these other wrestlers and push Jay Cargill. But we had a bunch of guys going there. We have Matt Riddle, who was a little bit of a shocker because he was featured on TV nearly all these months for a long time, despite his legal trouble and all the things, controversies that he had with him. He was still featured on TV. Longstanding guy, Dolph Ziggler, who is like third ranked in matches, WWE matches of all time, which is crazy to me. Also being released, Shelton Benjamin, who has been there for, I believe, just 20 years. I believe a couple months ago he got the 20 years. Elias, Mustafa Ali, Emma, Riddick Moss, Aaliyah, Top Dollar, Rick Boogs, Mace Mansoor, Dana Brooke, Dabikato, Shanky, and more, of course, that were released. I think it was up to 20 people there. But any shockers to you guys? What do you guys think about the WWE releases?
You go ahead.
A lot of these weren't shockers. I think there was just people who, honestly, people that honestly got over at some point and just weren't given a chance to shine on their own. I think one of the ones that stands out for me is definitely Elias. You know, Elias was definitely one who, whether he was a heel or whether he was a babyface, got over easily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the man was, I wouldn't say maybe he was like the greatest wrestler. I think he was a good wrestler. I feel like they didn't let him highlight it as much. I kind of always wanted him to win a mid-card title, whether it was US or IC, or even a tag team, you know, just to kind of like, I feel like that would have easily have elevated him into another like rank.
You want to know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
And see, that's why I talk. When you fail that cash and the money in the bank, it's like I think the only other one that was more just of a head scratcher was Emma. Because I'm like, Emma was one that, you know, was a kind of homegrown NXT female wrestler. Got released, you know, she kind of wasn't really doing anything big at that time, but went on the independent scene and was killing it. You know, she was a heel, she was had a new persona and everything. And then I was happy that she was to come back because, you know, she had an amazing match with Paige down in NXT and a couple other people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she had a kind of a little goofy gimmick early on, but for her to come back and not exactly not to like let her highlight anything and then just put her as like a manager / girlfriend type thing. I didn't really understand what that was. And then just release her again. It didn't really.
Isn't this our third time being released?
I think I believe it is. So I actually have a question about Emma, because I got introduced to Emma when she debuted on Raw, because I wasn't watching NXT at the time. That dancing gimmick that she was doing on Raw, she wasn't doing that in NXT prior.
Yes, she was.
She was doing
that in NXT prior.
She had that from the beginning, and then they highlighted her in the crowd where she was just dancing doing that. And then people were actually like doing it because they knew it from NXT.
I always thought that was something that Vince just threw on her because she was
coming. Oh no, that was legit. That was legit. All right.
Okay. So she wasn't released three times. The thing was, they were trying to reintroduce her before she got released the first time. Because she was on TV and they took her off, and then they were like Emma, and they were doing all these packages.
They
were gonna repackage her as Emelina, and then she came out and pretty much said that she wasn't gonna do it, because they were trying to make her more feminine. And I guess they realized she can't do this, she can't pull this off. So let's just drop the character. Like,
and
I remember that now, Emelina. Yeah. Her, and then they just dropped it.
Yeah, and then they released her, but then she was on the independents for a while, and then I was like, when I heard that she was coming back, I was like, okay, maybe she'll come back, she'll have some banger matches, blah blah blah. She didn't get any of that.
Barely got to learn.
As far as other people, you know, Mace Mansoor, Top Dollar, Rick Boogs. I feel like Rick Boogs, I know some of you guys don't really like him, but I thought he was entertaining with Shinsuke.
You're right, we don't. I don't like him even more, especially after what he said after he got released. So apparently he went on YouTube.
Oh yeah, Go ahead, Brian.
Pretty much saying that he pretty much said that when Vince wasn't in creative anymore, that was pretty much the death of his character. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, dude. When Vince was around, you were the damn guitar player for Shinsuke and Nakamura. And honestly, after everything they did with you afterwards, that was the best role that they could have possibly had for you. So when you got injured in that tag match at WrestleMania, that pretty much was it for you, unless you were gonna go back and be in his guitar player again. Look, did you see what they tried to do with him when he came back?
I know we're not supposed to crap on injuries or anything like that, but that gave us heel Nakamura.
Hey, but it was an instant time, though. It took a while.
It took a long time, but we got Hill Nakamura, and I'm fine with that.
I will say this. I don't care. I don't know. Maybe similar to Elias, like the whole music, and just because it paired well with Shinsuke's like intro and everything, I thought it was pretty cool. When he came back, and he was just this like, he kind of reminded me of like Mojo Raleigh. You know, and you know, he was actually legit. Mojo was big too, but he was just like, it was just a bunch of like hyped up and like kind of like stupid goof type thing. And I'm like, okay, you could probably be a comedy act, but it's not gonna go anywhere.
Now that I think about it, when I think about him being a guitar player, Pat McAfee is the real reason why he got over, because every time he
dancing
the table, hyping up the entrance to the point where the camera started panning to Pat McAfee every time Nakamura came out. So you want to get technical? Yeah, you kind of owe all that to Pat McAfee.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying though. Like, you know, he didn't have to come back as like that same type of character. Hey, what if they would have gave him a heel type thing? He probably could have done something different there. We don't know.
I thought he was instantly going to be putting a tag team with Madcap Moss. I thought that was the direction that they should have went, if anything. I thought that should have been a tag team. Isn't Emma married to Madcap Moss? Isn't that they're together?
I think just got engaged, or something like that.
Put her as the manager, had them as a tag team. I thought that was sure lined up at some point, and no.
They did somewhat start to tease it, because Madcap Moss was a face, and Emma was kind of telling him that you need to be more aggressive and such. So they had a couple of backstage segments, so they were definitely building towards it. But
it's been a couple of bruisers or something like that, you know, just like
something. They definitely could have did something with them.
But definitely, when I look at this list, these list of releases, the two that stand out to me are Mustafa Ali and Matt Riddle. More so Ali, because he was actually one of the ones out of all the releases that was still being featured weekly on television, to the point where he had a title match this Sunday at at NXT No Mercy against Dom. So that was definitely left field. And then you read the reports, and it's pretty much been like the kind of like the same story of like he's wanted out for like the longest time, and they wouldn't give it to him. So they kind of
like there was supposed to be something. I was reading that there was supposed to be something with him and either Dragon Lee for the NXT North American title. Like they was actually supposed to be in a feud with each other, actually battling for the title. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, they switched to put Dominic Mysterio in there, and he got the title. And whatever original plans they had, that fell through. And now when they came up with the him to face Dom, I'm pretty sure some of the booking decisions in that pretty much saying you're not going over. probably was the last straw for him, and he was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
I also saw a video that I guess he was also catching a little heat, because I guess I don't know if it was the same character he was doing at the time. I remember, obviously, before he went to NXT, he was doing the whole, like, positivity thing. But he was doing, I guess he did kind of like a, video pack, like him speaking, but I guess it was kind of like him in a suit, and he was all like, kind of like a candidate type thing.
Yeah, exactly. That controversial, like, we are American shit.
I guess it came off a little, I don't, not conservative, but like, I don't know, like he was just portraying like a political figure. And exactly. I don't know. I guess they got posted, and then
didn't they put him in retribution?
I mean, retribution wasn't political. I mean, WWE now, like, bro, if you have a political I mean, from that standpoint, yes. But when you first saw Retribution, were you thinking like?
I did.
When they did that segment, all the riots
that were going on around that time and stuff like that, and then all the stuff with that, like that was around that time. So putting two and two together, it was like.
When I first saw it, I thought it was more just like a Nexus type thing. But then when they did that thing where they like started the fire, I was like, oh, this is some whole like kind of terrorist type thing.
That's what I don't care what nobody says. Maybe they couldn't have done that. They couldn't have done that with regular fans. They couldn't have done that. The Thunderdome thing, that gave them time to think, make up shit. When we first saw that shit, when they actually invaded SmackDown and started beating up everybody, that was crazy. It was awesome. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was like, oh, shit, this is going to be something. And then all the storyline just fell. Again, everybody started making the Antifa ties, and that's where everything just fell apart, where the storyline got dumb.
It was something about like, oh, we're the forgotten ones and this and that.
Yeah,
and
I was fine with that.
Over. And then, but then it was
NWO with Jace. Because when you think about the beginnings of NWO and stuff like that, and I think there was a match that they, if they won, they would have got the rights to Nitro or be a part of WC. There was something like that with NWO. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of along the lines of that. But it was like, if they would have did it right, where they just kept causing havoc and beating up people and stuff like that and actually getting over, then it would have meant something. But then they have the stupid mask. They had all these dumbass names.
It fell apart. So when talking about Matt Riddle, I mean, I think I said it in our group chat. I always felt Matt Riddle was just like either one failed drug test or one more additional incident away from just them be saying, okay, we've had enough of this guy. Weak as he is, it's not worth it anymore.
I think Randy Orton's absence has as much to that do too. With his
release as anything not else. Having Randy Orton
around. I think them in a tag team, it kind of kept Riddle on a narrow straight line. With Randy, a person who's been in, maybe that's why they were paired together, a person that's been through all that shit, probably should have been released from WWE numerous of times, and they probably tried to pair him together, and then that injury to Randy Orton just kind of derailed that. And I've even read, I think there was a report there that they've given Matt Riddle numerous of chances and to shape up, stay out of controversy, all the stuff, and it was like they just kept, maybe there's some stuff that we don't know about that happened that continued to happen and stuff like that. And then especially with that stuff with the airport stuff, which I don't, I'm not even sure got cleared up, but what's the result of that now?
That was a weird one.
Definitely a sore spot for him because he was on TV every week, literally every week. So definitely a shock.
And I think as far as another surprising, well, not really surprising, but Dolph Ziggler, you know, like you said, you know, third most matches, third most television matches of all time. I definitely think he's going to AEW to go tag with his brother Ryan Nemeth. I think that's exactly what I think is going to happen because they his brother has already been posting photos on Twitter of them together holding tag team titles. So
that would be sick.
Yeah, it would be nice. Think about it. His brother is pretty much a jobber on AEW. If Dolph comes, he'll be relevant again in a tag team.
That's why I kind of don't want Ziggler to go to AEW just yet. I feel like go kind of do like a Matt Cardona type thing, build yourself up as a single star, and don't just go to AEW just to be in a tag team. I don't know. I feel like if you're gonna, you know, like if you're gonna go and, you know, all right, I'm gonna do it on my own.
Pull a Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull a Cody Rhodes.
I was just thinking of everybody that's gotten released, he's the only one that could pull something like that off, going on the independent and making himself bigger. Yes. I don't think anybody else that got released.
Shelton too. Maybe, if he really wanted to.
Like, I think like at this point, Shelton Benjamin is just.
He might just be a coach.
Come down to Orlando.
Just go to Orlando.
Those days are done.
Be a couple T-bone scooplexes. Be all right down there. Again, Dolph Ziggler, a guy that you think of just basically at this point was enhancement talent. So many false starts with him. Maybe the injury to Robert Roode kind of derailed him a little bit because they were together in a tag team there. So maybe that derailed whatever they were doing with Dolph Ziggler as well. But yeah, that's a big shocker. I thought Shelton Benjamin was a big shocker because you just think of guys like being WWE lifers. They're going to be there forever. They're not going to leave. Like, you always thought there was a role for Shelton Benjamin to play, whatever it was. So to see him going, especially those Intercontinental title champions here. You just think about all the false, a lot of these guys.
I don't know if you guys heard that, which I thought was funny. I wanted to bring it up. So Mace and Mansoor, they were on Twitch talking about how things were in WWE after getting released. And I guess, I listened to a little bit of it. And I guess Mansoor said that he wasn't featured as much because I guess the deal was with Saudi Arabia that he wasn't supposed to be losing any matches. And that was a part of the deal.
Really?
which I think is bullshit. Because it's like, if that was the case, isn't that like a deal breaker? Mansoor can't lose if he's going to be up to feature on TV. And didn't he lose a couple of matches and such? So I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I thought it was funny.
But he was in a like, quick little tag with Mustafa Ali for a little bit too. And then he turned on him and I don't know, nothing really ever happened there. So...
Yeah, but other than that, the rest of these releases, besides the people that we brought up, I mean, not really surprising. I mean, trying to trim the fat with the merger and such, trying to save money here and there.
Aaliyah.
No, man, because I know you all think I'm hating on Aaliyah. Look. The little bit that we got of her winning the tag team title, that was all good and stuff. But I just keep on thinking about the fact that she was in NXT for so damn long, and so many other people got called up way before she did. And it's just like, yo, she was like, you guys remember that show that they did called WWE Breaking Ground or whatever that show was where they featured NXT? Like, I remember they featured her. She was coming into NXT. And that was like years ago. And fast forward, all these other people have been called up, and she was still down there. So I'm thinking like, okay, she's not getting any better if she's still down there. And then eventually, when she did come up, then they put her in that feud with Natty, where she beat Natty in 3 seconds, and then that was that. Mm-hmm. And then they really didn't do much for her, and they kind of presented her as this little innocent girl that was getting bullied all the time. And yeah, he really cared. So that's why I've always been sour on Aaliyah, because I always just thought there was nothing there.
No, I know. Yeah, she was in NXT way too long and then came up and nothing happened. So,
I mean, they didn't even use her down there like that. So it's like, if you're not going to use her in the ring, you're not going to use her to like show down or even a jobber to that extent. Like, just she's not even on TV every week to be a jobber or anything like that. It was just like, you're not doing anything. And then WWE does this weird thing, like, all right, let's bring them to the main roster and see if there's anything there. It's like, you didn't develop them. You didn't do anything with them. So what?
Let's bring them to the main roster and change everything about them that made them unique in NXT. Like, the fans won't notice the difference. Yeah,
they don't know who these guys are. They don't watch NXT.
Nobody watches NXT, even though it was way better at the time.
Yeah,
way better.
Leaps and
times. Way better.
Putting up better numbers, but yep. It sucks that these people got released. Hopefully, they're able to pick up their fine job somewhere. Continue with their wrestling careers. Maybe we'll see some people back. You know, some people get released, they come back. Whatever the situation is there with that. But we hope these guys the best. And I'm not going to do the Johnny Laurinaitis thing, so I'm not going to do that.
People power.
But people power. But we can move. We can move into AEW Wrestle Dream, which I believe is on Sunday, which will be in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, home of Daniel Bryan, of course. A couple matches that are going to be happening there, especially with Zack Sabre Jr. Just looking at that match, of course, I haven't been following AEW for a little bit, but just looking at that matchup, this is probably one of the best matches, technical matches on paper that you can think of. Dream Wrestling, when they coined the phrase pretty perfectly here, Dream Wrestle Dream. To put these two together, what do you guys think about AEW's card? But let's start with Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. What do you guys think about those guys pairing up?
All right. Okay, sorry, before you go, Bryan, haven't they wrestled already?
I don't believe so. Initially, this match was supposed to happen at a Forbidden Door last year, but then Bryan Danielson was injured, so it didn't happen. So then I think Zack Sabre Jr. ended up fighting Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli, because he had just debuted in the companies. But as far as technical wrestlers go, these two guys are the top two in the world, yeah. Especially Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, I always go back to that fatal four-way. I think it was at this past year's Forbidden Door that he had with Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Shibata and then somebody else, and Cassidy. And the things that he was doing was just next level. I mean, when you look at his timing, when you talk about reversals, man, being the submission holds that he does. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. Really is one of the top wrestlers in the world. And now to match him up against Bryan Danielson, who's become essentially the new face of Collision now. I mean, you're always going to get a great performance out of both of them. So and it being Bryan Danielson's hometown, that actually adds something to it as well. But you definitely. They really haven't really told much of a story with it. It's pretty much just going to be two technical wrestlers in the world. Who's the best? And watching AEW tonight, wasn't there live or anything. I think they may have done like a brief video package, but nothing too serious because the names kind of already sell the match. I mean, it's definitely going to be the main event. Probably going to be Bryan Danielson going over, but I'm definitely going to be looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this pay-per-view, honestly, I don't even know the full card. I was watching AEW a bit. I know that match. I know there's a six-man tag with Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, against Takeshita, Sammy Guevara, and Will Ospreay, mm-hmm. which... Again, feels the like the Callis same thing. Family.
Yeah, the Don Callis family. Yeah,
it just feels like the same thing from the. It feels like the same thing from. What was it? All In at Wembley.
Where it was All In, All Out. I mean, it's pretty much.
The big one at Wembley. The big one where it was. Yeah, it was. I think it was another six-man, too. It was Kenny, Ibushi, Takeshita, Will Ospreay, and there was somebody else. I honestly don't remember, but I'm just like, these matches were like, first of all, yeah, this pay-per-view just kind of feels like another Forbidden Door, honestly.
Let me run down the card real quick. We got Hangman Page versus Swerve Strickland, FTR versus Aussie Open, MJF versus The Righteous.
Yeah, so Adam Cole broke his ankle last week trying to intervene in the match with Samoa Joe and MJF. So now it's a 2-on-1 handicap match. I saw that segment. During that segment, Switchblade Jay White came out, and him and MJF had a back and forth, and Jay White made his intentions known that he wants the AEW title. So I don't know if they announced that match is going to happen. So
at some point,
at some point, probably. Yeah.
Hey, at least he's getting in the title picture.
Yeah, rather than sitting on the sidelines. There's also Christian Cage versus Darby Allin, 2 out of 3 falls for the AEW TNT match. Christian accidentally covered what, Luchasaurus, right?
No, it wasn't accidentally. No, he purposely covered Luchasaurus. That was legit.
Finally win the title. Eddie Kingston versus Shibata.
Wait. Luchasaurus basically handed over the title to Christian.
So on this past episode of Collision, there was a three-way match with Luchasaurus, Christian Cage, and Darby Allin for the title. I mean, essentially Christian was trying to set it up for it to be a 2-on-1 situation, and the only way he could do it is if it was a three-way match. I think Darby hit the coffin drop on Luchasaurus, then Christian came in, threw Darby out the ring, and then pinned Luchasaurus and became champion. Yeah.
And there was a little tug-of-war with the belt, and Luchasaurus gave him the belt. So that was they're teasing something there.
Yeah.
We got Eddie Kingston versus Shibata for the ROH Championship and Strong Openweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart for the TBS title. And then we got a four-way tag match for a future opportunity at the tag titles with the Young Bucks, the Guns, the Lucha Brothers, and Orange Cassidy and Hook. And then we got Ricky Starks versus Wheeler Yuta,
which they just announced tonight. Yeah.
Okay, so that was just added there. So
yeah.
Definitely a bunch of matches there.
Yeah.
Well, who's Aussie Open?
Oh, Aussie Open. Yeah. They're in.
Was that group? Were they in NXT?
No, that's Shane Thorne and TM61.
Those were those guys. But I think Aussie Open, they're just a very good Australian tag team. I mean, they were in New Japan.
Usually Will Ospreay sometimes.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're in the stable with Will Ospreay, the United Empire.
Yep, that's what it is.
Is part of the Don Callis family, or is he part of the United Empire? Like,
no, United Empire. That's his group. And yeah, I guess he's a mercenary per se for the Don Callis family.
Yeah,
such a waste.
Ospreay's like the ultimate. He's like the ultimate free agent. Like he's everything.
Yeah.
I think it was announced that he's wrestling for like a GCW or another one of these independents. Matter of fact, might not be GCW, but I know he has a match. Impact. Yeah, it was Impact. He has a match on Impact coming up too.
What the fuck?
He's the ultimate free agent.
he's so bad. It's a shame.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah.
It's a shame.
Him
and Daniel Bryan should face each other at some point. If they're going to create a title for Collision, that's what needs to happen. They can run that show with those two guys at least and have something.
But that's the thing, though. He's not on the AEW roster. He's part of New Japan. And I guess his contract's coming up soon. So he's like, he'll be a free agent pretty soon. So I think the plan probably is to sign them to AEW, and then you can start doing like real like big matches. And I mean, he's had big matches, but like storylines, I guess.
Yeah. Because it's like, he's too talented to just not be doing something. Like, he's too talented. Yeah.
My thing is, it's like, this just feels like another Forbidden Door where it's just like, there's And, you know, AEW doesn't always do the best of, you know, building. At least, well, they'll have like one or two storylines. At least this one, I don't feel there's any storylines. It's just like, let's just give, you know, let's just set up good matches because they know people are going to watch them.
So
Forbidden Door 2.0.
So I was actually watching AEW in the background, and the main event for the show tonight was actually the contract signing between Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. So if that's the main event of Dynamite, then obviously that probably their biggest story going into the show.
I don't even know the story between that.
I mean, the story is pretty much. I mean, that storyline is pretty much. I think Swerve came out in the middle of a Hangman Page promo and pretty much told the Hangman that since he's been winning, that it's been a minute since the last time he's won the AEW championship, and that like he's getting soft. He's not hungry anymore. Mm. And Swerve went as far as to say that if I got as many opportunities as you, I'd be the first black AEW champion already. So things aren't fair. So. But I know if I take you out, I'll finally get the opportunities I deserve. So that's pretty much that.
Shit, I hope Swerve gets the win. Yeah. Swerve needs to be in that top spot.
He's from Seattle too, so hopefully.
You want to know who's coming? Top Dollar.
Oh, God.
Let's go.
He's available.
Let's
go.
Hitting that top rope. He'll hit the top rope again.
I keep getting that spot is the reason why he got released.
When I see Top Dollar get released, it's like, did they release Hit Row? No, right?
It was just him. It was just him. That's why I'm like, yo, really, that spot, yo. And the thing is, he can do that shit. I've seen him do it on YouTube. And apparently, when he did it, he was a heavier weight. That's why I'm like, yo, he can do this shit.
I don't know why he's even going for that spot. If like
he's too heavy.
There's big dudes who can do that.
I'm just saying for him. It looks like he can't do that that way.
I'm saying there's still dudes who are like heavier than not heavier, but maybe around the same size they were, could still do that move, and him. Like, bro, if you can't do it clean every time, don't do it.
Yeah, but, Michael Cole killed his career. Michael Cole.
He had too much cash in his pocket. He had too many dollars in his pocket.
He could have played that, right? Like, he should have played that up. Like, I got too much money in my pockets.
I had all these dollars.
But getting back to WrestleDream, Tony Khan had said in like the media call he did for the event that this pay-per-view is pretty much going to serve as like a reset for AEW with all the turmoil and nonsense that had been going on with CM Punk getting let go, with Jade leaving and everything, that this was going to be kind of like a rebirth or a restart for AEW. And if he's saying things like that, the only way I could see that is that at this show, because there's not a lot of stories, and then you need to have like a major like impact signing, which is why I'm thinking that if what he's saying is true, this will be the perfect time for On This Day I See Clearly Edge. You're not gonna hear that theme music, but if Edge is coming to AEW and he's signed. If you're gonna debut him and say this is a reset, this is the perfect place to do it. If not Edge, we've also heard rumors about Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks possibly joining AEW. If those are true, and you're saying this is gonna be a reset, having both of them debut on this pay per view is definitely a step in that
Dan
direction.
Dan's shaking his head already.
I mean, I don't want to see Sasha Banks there. I mean, me personally.
WWE. That's all I'm saying. I'm just gonna say this from Edge's standpoint. I understand the whole angle with him and Christian. Yeah. You can also do an angle with him and Daniel Bryanson, especially what they did at WrestleMania. Like, hey, you got my way.
One more run with Christian before he hangs it up.
There's some things that he can do with Christian. There's some stuff he can do with Daniel Bryan, but I can see him trying to have a tag team match with even be heels. Because they can be pricks together, and then, like, I can see Edge wanting to do that. Not really getting that type of heel run that he wanted in WWE in his latest run. You know what I mean? So he can possibly do that. Sasha Banks, as I said, just go back to WWE or just stay in New Japan. Or just stay in New Japan. Do not go. Do not go to a sinking ship. Do not. Complain. You left a whole company for how they treat women. You just left a whole company for how they book, how they treat women, the wrestling that they have, the time they given. And now you're going to go to AEW where they have probably been worse.
Hey, maybe like, she can change it.
Yeah, but it's been so bad that it can only go up from here. And when you get that's like, true.
Okay, but think about this though. You know how big of a name Mercedes is. You don't think that'll put an even bigger spotlight on AEW's women's division that it would actually cause a change? Because
you brought in all these other women that had bad booking,
but they're not on the caliber of Mercedes.
Though. Doesn't matter. It definitely matter. Not.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it kind of does.
No. That's like okay. Seriously, but hypothetically, you're telling me if Charlotte went to AEW, you're telling me that wouldn't bring
how
much attention.
Okay. Attention brought to it. Yes, that's going to bring attention to it. But in terms of booking and what they're going to do with it, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That they're so big. You don't tell me she's going to come in and be like, "You guys are doing this." Nah, we're going
to
do this.
First of all, what does that say? What does that say to Britt Baker? What does that say to?
She's homegrown. That's different.
What does that say to those women in there that were just in there busting their ass? Oh, now she walks in and now everything's okay? Come on.
That's the exact message.
I couldn't be a wrestling man.
The message is to the bookers, though. It's to the bookers. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like you and but then it also has to highlight, you know, if Tony Khan's the one that's still kind of deciding how things go, is going to be like, you're going to have to highlight the women's division more. And you have to actually create stars because you can't bring in the biggest star ever and only have her feud with two people.
I agree with that. And I'm pretty sure her coming in is going to be like, hey, show some shine here. Give this person more attention. Show I want to work with this person. I'm pretty sure it's going to benefit. But I'm just like, after all the shit that you just literally went through, stood up for, you're gonna go to AEW? To me, you gotta
finish. I don't see why not.
If the reports are true about her and Trinity's exit, the influences that were responsible for it aren't there or don't have the power that they had then anymore, supposedly. So, I mean, John Laurinaitis is long gone.
See Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard pulled literally from the WWE office. I still think those influences are going to be there. I still think.
And again, this is all caused by the women's tag team titles. Get them out of here.
It's the white straps.
Give me the trash can.
They need to redesign them.
No.
It's the white straps. It's the white straps.
Put them in the trash can.
What are the women going to do? What are the women going to do?
Give him a mid-card title. Give him a TBS. Give him
USA title.
The North American Women's Champion. How simple is that? The United States Women's Champion. Championship. And then the women's world heavyweight championship. You can't do the same thing for another title.
They just lost their Patriot. They just lost the angle for that. They already released Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans is gone.
She's too controversial. She's too controversial.
Is she?
She stole Sergeant Slaughter's move without asking.
Yeah, that didn't help. That didn't help for sure. Russell Dreams happening Sunday. We'll see what happens. Maybe there's some debuts. I don't know what the ties of the no compete clause. I don't know if there was that for Edge, Or maybe they're just like, hey, you want to go to AEW? You've done so much for us. Hey, go ahead. Maybe it's one of those deals. Like, hey, go ahead. Go to AEW and go wrestle with Christian. Go ahead and do something over there. Maybe that's the spot they were in. But hopefully there's some debuts there. That would be dope to hear about.
Yeah. And then bringing that up, because I remember like in the earlier episodes of the podcast when we first started talking about AEW, I remember, Daniel, you saying your first comparison to it was WCW. And when you look, and then when you look at this week, who did WWE sign? Jade, one of their homegrown up-and-coming athletes. And then you look at all the people that AEW assigned that WWE let go. Some of these aging guys who were probably only there just for the paycheck or for creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start to see that now you're starting to think, they're emulating WCW a little bit now, especially if we hear that they bring it.
I've said it from day one. They are WCW 2.0. That is what they are. Whether they want to admit it or not.
And they started on TNT.
And it's on TNT. AEW Collision resembles Monday Night Nitro. All the stuff are there for WCW. I'm just saying, it's WCW. And maybe people are seeing it now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. WCW did have its moments. It was entertaining. It did have great matches. But there's limits, there's levels to it. And I've always been saying that. And if this is a reset already for AEW, like this is stuff that WCW did. The reset. We're gonna rebrand, we're gonna do this. That's a reset. And hopefully it's not the same outcome, because I think there's a little bit more bang for the buck now, especially with the market for wrestling. So it's like, I don't think it's going to be the same as WCW, but it's like a reset. Stars, there's controversies, there's people quitting, so much backlash, all this stuff going on. It's like, how much can you deal with that until the network says enough, wrestlers say enough? Like, who knows?
I don't think they're anywhere near that, but that's just me.
Hey. There's signs there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you can't say that. You don't even watch it.
Yeah, I check it out every day. I watch the clips.
I will say that we are there is going to be a lot of great in-ring action as far as Sunday night goes. I mean, Like, I'm actually looking forward to for once in my life a six-man tag with Kenny Omega, Jericho, and Kota Ibushi. Because those are big names that will make the match very entertaining.
That's what happened at All In, and that match ended so fast. I was like, this was so anticlimactic. I was like, what the hell is this? CM Punk was
like, and then got released. Fired for blading. That's what they didn't want to tell you. CM Punk got fired for blading. That's what it was.
Because he got caught.
I mean, when you talk about Darby and Christian, they've actually had a feud going for a couple of months now over the TNT title. So that's their top stories. And the fact that it's going to be 2 out of 3 falls, and the fact that Christian is actually the TNT champion right now, and they're in Seattle in Darby's hometown. So the emotion in that match is going to be awesome.
Good marketing. We got Swerve Strickland. You got Daniel Bryanson, you got Darby Allin.
Exactly. You got three home guys.
Seattle has a history of since like the Roddy Piper days of being a crazy territory, like for fans and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, those people in Seattle, they're still not over the fact that the Seattle Supersonics moved to Oklahoma City. I mean, dead serious. Anytime it's ever brought up on a wrestling show, the fans will boo for literally 5 minutes straight because they're still not over it.
I don't blame him.
The fans in Seattle are better than the fans in Miami. I'd rather have leaving the game. I still remember that shit they did in the finals all those years ago when they left early thinking that shit was over. And then tried to get back. After that, I'd rather have a franchise in Seattle. The Seattle fans wouldn't do that.
Oh, man. But that's happening in Seattle. Hopefully, it's a great show. Hopefully, there's a great turnout. Let's turn our attention to NXT No Mercy, which is Saturday. A lot of matches going on there. You got Noam Dar versus Butch, who won the Heritage Cup tournament to get this opportunity against Noam Dar. Carmelo Hayes faces Ilya Dragunov. Bron Baker versus Baron Corbin. They just went through a wall on NXT. They're selling that brawl pretty good. So we'll see what happens with that as well. Tiffany Stratton versus Becky Lynch in an Extreme Rules match. I'm not going to say what I said in the group chat there, but I'll just leave it there. I'll just leave it there about Becky Lynch. We got Dominic Mysterio versus Trick Williams, who got that opportunity, I believe, this week in a number one match. So that's going to be interesting to see him get that singles title. I think this is his first opportunity at the title. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
Just don't mean to cut you off there. And they announced Dragon Lee is going to be the guest referee in that match.
Which I'm like, why?
Why?
He just lost on Monday. Dirty Dom put him away on Monday. He don't have to deal with
it. So he lost on Monday. Then he lost the fatal four-way. He wasn't pinned, but he lost the fatal four-way. Then Dom had a backstage segment where he was talking about Trick Williams, and then Dragon Lee attacked Dom. So I guess Shawn Michaels felt that, Dom thinks he runs the show. Well, he clearly doesn't, because I'm going to make Dragon Lee the special guest referee now. So,
I'm just going to say this, a quick note. Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee screwed everyone all the time. He screwed The Rock. He tried to screw The Undertaker. He screwed The Undertaker against Bret Hart. He tried to screw The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell against Triple H.
Yeah. You know, I was like,
why do you keep getting that job as a special guest referee if he screws everybody all the time?
So the fact that he's giving out the job to people is kind of like, you already know what I want you to do, right?
he has the black and white Foot Locker shirt ready to go.
The second job.
It's in the job description when you sign with NXT. You may or may not be a special guest referee.
but I love the fact they're actually showcasing Trick Williams for this match. We've always said that when him and Carmelo were together, if they ever came to the main roster, especially when Vince was in charge, I always felt that like they were gonna think that Trick Williams had more upside because of his look, his charisma and all that stuff over Carmelo Hayes. But now you're definitely getting to see a lot of what Trick brings to the table. I mean, I love his entrance music, the crowd chanting "Whoop that Trick." How that's become a thing now. I really like that for him. But to go back to Dragon Lee, I know we're not gonna really get into much of Monday Night Raw, but the match that him and Dom had on Raw, that was actually a very good match. And he's very good in the ring. And the fact that they gave, I don't know how long the match was, probably like 15, 20 minutes, but the fact that they gave them that 15, 20 minutes on Monday Night Raw of all places clearly shows that they see something in Dragon Lee for the future. I mean, Rey Mysterio ain't getting no younger. So you're gonna need that Hispanic star to kind of keep with the Hispanic fans. Yeah, I know Santos Escobar. You still got Santos and Legado, but to have that mass star in Dragon Lee, so moving forward is definitely something positive. But
bring back Ultimo Dragon.
They had a really good match. I actually thought the match was gonna end in a no contest, and they were just gonna rebook the match for No Mercy. Actually see Trick Williams get some shine is actually good. The main event with the Carmelo Hayes and Dragunov, the contract signing that they had, which was very entertaining. With Carmelo Hayes basically saying that he needs to prove that he beat Dragunov straight up last time, Ilya Dragunov, he's very interesting, and I say that because, there was a list going around online of like the top five matches in the last couple of years, and he's in two of them. Both of his matches with Gunther, which were both classics. But Dragunov, you're gonna get a great performance from Dragunov, because I mean I actually think Ilya Dragunov is insane in his mind. The fact that he can take so much and wants to take so much, like, I actually think that's not really. I don't really think that's a character. I think that's actually him. To be honest with you,
man, look like he's about to I think
he's able to play that well. I think he's able to play that well, and he's able to buy into it. And the mannerisms shows what he puts into his character. I'll say that turning red, like being able to like show that much emotion and shaking and shit like that—that's crazy. Like that's crazy for sure.
Yeah, but I know Daniel's getting kind of hold back on Becky Lynch right now, but the at least the package that they did with her and Tiffany Stratton was good. But you just clearly
see Becky talking Stratton. In it.
Yo, I hear you go again.
Becky talking in it. We need to talk. Oh, man. Just saying. I know you guys don't like
the everything O word has its time.
I know you guys don't like the O word in here, almost or overrated. I know you guys don't like those words in here, but as I said, at some point we gotta realize she's not the greatest on the mic. We gotta
she's pretty good on the mic.
She's good. She's not the best. She's good.
You guys are gonna start seeing it. Just saying.
So who would you say is better, her or Becky Bianca Lynch on the mic?
Oh, Bianca's better than her. Bianca's better than her on the mic. I'll give Bianca that.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
Bianca. They haven't allowed Bianca to be a heel, and I feel like that's the problem. And I feel like that's the problem with her work. We've seen Becky as a face and as a heel. We have not really seen Bianca Belair as a heel, besides those little spurts in NXT. She can talk. It's just that she's forced to be a baby.
Being a heel makes you a great promo.
It brings out more, though. You're able to go a different place. For perfect example, look at Edge. Edge has a baby face.
What about John Cena?
We're talking John Cena.
I'm saying he's, but his majority of work has been baby. It was a very short period that he was.
But everybody remembers that heel work.
Yeah. People still remember that heel work now.
They remember it now. 5 years ago, they weren't even thinking about it. Him talking trash.
That was dope. That's how we got over. That's how John Cena got over. If it wasn't for that heel work, if he was the prototype, he never would have got over.
How long would you say John Cena was here? Like 2 years or 3 years?
Yeah. On those early editions of SmackDown, it was like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it was about 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about 2 or 3, like roughly around there, but it's like that got him over. that heel work that I'm telling you, if they just start moving people as a heel, certain people as a heel, they're gonna take off. Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre instantly comes. Bianca Belair comes to mind. Oscar, we were saying, hey, should be a heel. Fucking shit. I don't know.
Doesn't that bring up too many heels and not enough baby faces?
You gotta switch somebody to baby face. You gotta move somebody.
So Luz, I want to ask you specifically about something as far as NXT No Mercy goes. This fatal four-way tag team match that we got coming up. Don't you just like how NXT builds their tag team division compared to other?
So that is the family Tony D'Angelo.
See what competing for titles actually does.
They had a segment throughout the show of them pretty much having a family dinner together, and those are your top teams, and then you got the new team of what are they called? OTM or was.
Yeah, Lucy and Prince and
Bronco
Nima. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, with Reggie Scripps. So you see that team. out the mud. Yeah, that's what they're called.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm talking about scripts.
Nah, I'm cool with that. Oh yeah, Reggie. The fact that he's trying to act hard and act like he's on the same level as these guys as far as the hood and all that shit goes. I'm like, dude, you were wearing a damn mask doing flips and stuff, and then they had to cut that character loose because everybody and their mama knew it was you. So that's the real reason why.
Is it Rockstar Spud in the Authors of Pain, basically?
Pretty much, yeah. It's literally this is why I say Triple H and Shawn Michaels, they don't understand certain things. They try, but they don't understand certain things. Like, as Daniel, as black men, we see this dude with this tag team, and we're like, nah, it ain't it. It ain't him. He's trying, but nah, it ain't it. Think of all the roles that Reggie has had. First it was with Carmelo.
This is Reggie.
Yeah,
I thought she was gone.
Reggie
surprisingly made the cuts.
He made it. Wait, he was really wrestling in that mask on Level Up?
Yeah, that was, yeah, Scripps. Yeah, that was Reggie.
That was his name. Oh my God. See, this is where I'm telling you.
I think they dropped the character with the mask because everybody knew it was fucking Reggie. So it was like, yeah, what's the point of doing this character? Like, everybody knows it's him.
Out of all the masks to give him, you really couldn't just give him something that maybe covered it up a little bit more.
I wonder why he came.
Yeah, but
I'm fine with that name.
But the fact they actually had like a segment like that throughout the show, showing their tag team division and such, and building towards the Fatal Four Way. I mean, like we always complain about how on the main roster the same focus definitely isn't shown, and now we're gonna get a good match out of it. I mean,
I will be watching.
So as far as the rest of this card goes, if I can make a prediction right now about Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, there's not gonna be a finish. I feel like Von Wagner is gonna come back and take both of them out.
Yeah, probably.
He's been out since Braun Breaker tried to take his head off. So yeah, I just feel
or like he took yeah, his head Wagner's off. Gonna out.
Well, other than that, yeah, we got a very.
That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially with him coming back, and especially the brawls that they've been happening. So they're probably going to try to set up a triple threat with that. Most likely, I can see that happening with those guys just beating the hell out of each other. Mm-hmm. Can definitely see that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where we can end this one here with Ring Takes here, episode 35. We got AEW Collision happening. AEW Collision happening this week. SmackDown happening. We'll pick up with that because Fastlane is next week. That's crazy. It's next week Sunday, so we'll see how that goes.
Last man we got standing.
Yes. We will talk about that next week with Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura. Definitely going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Much more happening. Hopefully we get a women's title match set up for Fastlane. Hopefully more matches get set up for Fastlane. And we'll see how that goes. We got NXT No Mercy on Saturday. We got Wrestle Dream on Sunday. So we'll follow up with that a little bit. We'll get in predictions for Fastlane, whatever matches. It's been a week and I don't think we only seen like two matches announced. So we'll see how that goes as well. But of course, as always, thank you guys for joining me. I'll wrap this one here. And until next time.
One, two, three.
Oh, man. I thought that shit just decided to mess up at